Luke, the second chapter. How many of you read the story this Christmas season, this week? Amen? Well, we're just going to do a little portion of it here today. Luke, the second chapter, verse 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Amen? "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Amen. Amen. So what is it about this child that was going to bring joy? Well, it was because man had been separated from God, right? The sin that Adam and Eve did caused a big separation between God and man. And mankind did not have a way of getting to God except for many, many works that God had given them to do in order to reach the qualification that they could, you know, could hear from him, could come into his presence. But it still wasn't enough. And then all of a sudden, here comes this child, which the angels were so joyous about that they just broke out in this song telling the shepherds, "This child has been brought to the earth." Amen?
Amen?
And this child was going to bring salvation not just to the Jewish people, but to all mankind. That includes each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
That means not one of us here will be lost unless we choose. Amen? You ever had a relationship that was destroyed completely, a close relationship, and then it got restored? Just as if nothing had ever been wrong. Isn't there great rejoicing when that occurs?
Yes.
Well, that's what the angels were doing. Because they knew God is making peace with mankind. Amen?
Amen.
Peace on earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So today we're talking about the joy of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We've talked about it this week. But you know, the world has their concept of what joy is. But the joy of the Lord is really something different. Amen? So, the dictionary says that joy and happiness are synonymous. I don't agree with the dictionary. Oh, dear. Happiness depends upon our circumstances. Amen? So joy does not. If the joy of the Lord is within us, we can have joy whether or not our circumstances tell us we should have joy.
Amen?
Joyless means without joy, unhappy, sad. And I would add, without God. So joy, as I was studying it, I found out it's like a jewel, so I brought a jewel here today. I hope you can all see it. I tried to get one big enough. You could all see this jewel is going to represent joy, okay? Now, when we look at a jewel, it is determined according to what stone is used, how many facets are on this jewel, right? How much the jeweler cut and made each one of them. And so today, we're going to talk about all the different little facets of joy. Amen? There's a lot of different facets. We don't really think about joy that much. We know it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, it comes right after love. Love, joy. But sometimes we just kind of skip over that joy and get to faith and all the others, right? Well, I think there's a reason why joy is second. Amen. So I've got a lot of verses for you today because there's a lot of facets in the jewel called joy. Amen? So you ready? We got to go fast if we're going to get through all these facets. Amen? And I don't know, I'm not real fast, so. And I have to preach about every one of them, so. You ready to stay a couple hours? I don't think I can do all of this in one day, but it's here. We'll see. Oh, precious Lord. Okay, so the first one, Isaiah 12, 1 through 3. You ready? You have to move fast. If you can't move fast, write them down. Because then you can go back later and just study it out, which I think you should do anyway. Of course, I got to find them too. I'll give you a chance. Isaiah 12, 1 through 3. In that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away. They didn't really know the Lord too well back then. You comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. So the first thing, the first facet we're looking at is that we have joy because of salvation. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This water that he's talking about, this salvation, is life. It gives us life. It brings life to us. Now turn to Luke 15. Verse 7. Well, we're going to kind of look. This whole chapter is talking about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Okay, so in the first few sections there, we see that somebody had lost the sheep. And so what did they do? They left their 90 and 9 in safety, and they went out and they looked for the sheep until they found it. Now, verse 7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So it causes joy in heaven because of salvation. Amen? They're looking on to see what's going on here with us. The lost coin is the same thing. This woman lost a very precious coin, and so she went searching throughout her house until she found it. And then when she found it, there was great joy, right? So verse 10, Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. Just think, at one point, we were that one sinner. Amen? Amen? So the angels rejoiced over us.
Hallelujah.
Just like they rejoiced over Jesus when he was born. Amen. They rejoiced over us. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so then we know the story of the prodigal son. He thought he couldn't wait for his inheritance. He just had to have it now. He had to go have a good time. And so he went and had a good time. But guess what? That good time ended. And he became hungry. He became without having anything. He was stripped to nothing. Out there eating with the pigs. You ever felt like you were in the pig pen? Well, let me tell you, God can rescue you from the pig pen. Especially if you come to your senses and say, I think I'll go back to where it was good. So he arose and he went to his father. And look at the father in verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So then, of course, the son tries to repent, but the father is like, he's already forgiven his son. He saw the son coming, and what did he say? Let's have a party. My son who was lost, my son who was dead is alive. Come on, let's have a party. He was expressing his joy over his son that was lost and is now found. Amen. So joy because of salvation, that's the greatest joy that you can have, is that salvation. Amen?
Amen?
When somebody gets saved, we should really rejoice. You know that? It's the greatest gift of all. Now turn to Isaiah 61. In this passage, it's talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, right, to preach good tidings. And then it keeps on going down and listing all the different things here. Then in verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen?
Amen?
So this is an exchange. One of the facets of joy is that we can exchange the oil of joy for mourning. So if you've been mourning over a situation, you can just say, you know what? I choose to exchange that and take the oil of joy. That soothing oil, the Holy Spirit just pours that oil all over you, and you just rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Just give it to him. And then that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Have you ever been feeling really heavy and just decided to praise the Lord, and all of a sudden that heaviness just lifts? Amen? Hallelujah. He wants to give us that joy of the Lord. Amen? Psalms 30, verse 5. We'll get there. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You ever gone through a dark night, a dark situation, and you feel voidless? You feel like there's nothing left to go on with? Well, just remember, it's just a short time. In the morning, joy is coming.
Amen.
Why? Because we're looking to the sun. We're looking to the sunshine. Our awesome God is shining upon us. Amen? And so that joy, when we allow that joy to come, it brightens up everything. Amen? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Joy that is set before us. Oh, let's turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Are you keeping up with me? All right. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each one of us has a race that we have before us. But what are we supposed to do? Look unto Jesus. That means we don't have eyes for anyone else. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, now this doesn't seem like a very joyful thing that he's going to have to endure, does it? I don't suppose he is very happy about it either. So to me, joy and happiness are not the same. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be happy about going to the cross. And I don't think he was either. If we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't really happy about it, but he said, not my will, but yours be done. But what was the joy that was set before him? He was focused on something besides the cross, right? He was focused actually on us, is right. The prize that he was going to get. Knowing the battle that he was going to go through with Satan, knowing the separation from God the Father, I don't know about you, I would not want to endure that. Amen. You can go through anything here on earth, but to be separated from God the Father? So anyway, he looked beyond all of that because he had a promise of us. So that means we're pretty special.
Amen.
We're worth enough for him to give his life for. And more than that, to give up his deity. He wasn't God when God turned his face away from him. He actually had to give up his deity. Yeah, he was God here on this earth. But just think about it. He was made sin. Sin and God are not the same. There is no sin in God. So he had to totally depend upon God to bring him up out of hell. Amen? That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? So he was looking beyond all of that. He was looking at us and thought we were worth it. Amen? Hallelujah. That's one of the facets of our jewel of joy. Amen? Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Okay, then read verses 18 to 24 with me. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, that burned with fire, to the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. I mean, they were terrified of God in the Old Testament. And they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. You got your name written in heaven? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Don't you think that's enough to rejoice about? The joy of the Lord should be really stirring within us by now, to think that Jesus went through everything so that we could experience life with him, that he is the mediator of a new covenant. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to tremble. We don't have to come and crawl before him and ask, oh God, please have mercy on me. No, when Jesus has become the mediator for us, we have the right to go into his presence and be joyful and sing and praise and worship our God. Amen? Woo, is right. Are you getting excited yet? Good. That's what it's all about. Joy. Hallelujah. Did you know there's a place called joy? Okay. Matthew 25. Let's go there. Now, this is telling us about the parable of the talents. And we know the story pretty well, I think. We know the story of the man who was going to travel to this far country, and he called his servants. And so he gave each of them some talents, right? Something to do for him. He gave one of them 5 talents. He gave the other 2 talents. And he gave one talent. And so he said for them to take care of those until he came back, right? So when he came back, the first one, well, let's just kind of read here. Verse 20. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You know, we tend to stop right there. But he continued to say, enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So that looks like there's that you have a choice. He said, enter. Well, you can choose to either enter or not enter, right? He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, That joy would give them the strength to rule over those places that he gave them, right? If he didn't have that joy, if they didn't have that joy, if they didn't enter into the place of joy with the Lord, then how would they have the strength to do it?
All right.
Right? Okay, now we know that the one with the one, he went and hid it. And do you think the Lord said the same thing to him? Well, let me show you what it looks like without joy. Verse 30. And he said, "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Without joy. Darkness. Separation from God. Amen? There's no joy there. So, we have a place called joy that we can choose to enter. Amen? We can choose every day to enter that place. When we get up in the morning, we can say, am I going to have a joyful day? Or am I going to let the cares of this life depress me and weigh me down? We have a choice.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, joy causes a rejoicing that we cannot or should not contain. What good is it if you have all this joy and you just keep it to yourself?
Well,
our spirits have this joy if we're born again. But we choose to rejoice. Right? We have this joy all the time, but it's our choice. Joy and rejoice come from the same root word. You can't rejoice without joy. But I guess you could have joy and not rejoice, because it's a choice. Amen? Okay, it's an act of our will to rejoice. So, let's go back to Luke. Luke, the first chapter. I want you to see what joy sounds like. Okay? What rejoicing sounds like. Remember Mary?
Yes.
Remember Elizabeth? And she was pregnant with the babe, John the Baptist. He was still inside the womb, right? But Mary went to visit Elizabeth. You know, she just had this awesome prophecy, but who would believe her? You're going to have a baby and you're not going to know a man. Okay. All right, so let's go see Elizabeth. Because the angel told her, well, Elizabeth's going to have a baby too. Okay, let's go to Elizabeth. Let's go find somebody else that might know what I'm talking about. Okay, so what did Elizabeth say in verse 44? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Why did he leap for joy? Because he was in the presence of Jesus, the Almighty God.
Wow.
He was filled with the Holy Spirit right then and there. And he leaped for joy. He couldn't contain it. He said, let me out of here. I'm ready to praise the Lord. And so Elizabeth gave a prophecy to Mary. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. She accepted it, she believed it, and so it was confirmed to her that yes, it's going to happen. Now, this is what Mary did. We're going to read to you Mary's song. Did you know that Mary was a singer? And this is the sound of joy. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Boy, she didn't keep silent, did she? She rejoiced in the Lord. Her soul, that means she chose to take her soul and praise God. It wasn't just something that she was allowing to be contained within her. She was so rejoicing, she couldn't keep quiet.
Amen.
Amen? I think we need a little bit more of that, don't you?
Amen.
Woo! You know, the world wants to rejoice. Why do you think they celebrate Christmas? It's not because of the babe. They want to be happy. They want joy. They want... You know, but they don't know what the true meaning of joy is. They think it means, oh, let's have a good time. Let's enjoy our flesh. Let's loosen up a little bit, party. Yeah. They don't know what true joy is. And how are they going to know if we don't let them know? If we're not rejoicing, if we're going around with a sad face, when we got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords living within us, and they want that? They can get more than that out of a bottle. Praise God. We have to let the joy of the Lord come through, don't we? Stir it up. Praise the Lord. That's so Mary's song is what rejoicing sounds like. Amen. The next facet of our jewel called joy is that we can rejoice in spite of circumstances. Turn to Acts 16. Well, this story talks about Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 16 through 34 is the story about Paul and Silas. And you know what? They were just going along doing the Lord's work. Teaching and preaching, healing the sick, doing all the things that they should. But, you know, the enemy isn't too happy with that, and he even had this slave girl going around telling everybody, oh, these are godly people. How many of you know that just because somebody is tooting praises for you doesn't mean that they're of God? Well, why didn't Paul know this from the beginning? Well, maybe he wasn't too concentrated on that at the time. But eventually he got sick and tired of this girl going around following them. He didn't need Satan's tools to proclaim who they were. So guess what? In the name of Jesus, he took authority over that and stopped up her mouth. Well, now, her masters weren't too happy with this. So they got everybody stirred up, and Paul and Silas got beaten and thrown into this dark prison. Well, now, it doesn't sound like a place to be rejoicing, does it? It sure doesn't. I don't know if I would have been rejoicing, but so, verse 25. But at midnight, they were crying and telling all the other prisoners how they were done wrong.
No.
They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were rejoicing. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposed that the prisoners had fled. And here he had been told, you better really watch over these guys. That's why they put him in the darkest, deepest part of the dungeon that he could. So what did he do? Uh-oh, I'm a goner. I think I'll choose my own death. Let's kill ourselves. But Paul called out with this loud voice, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. So what was the result of their praising and worshiping God? Somebody got saved.
Amen?
Amen? He came and he fell on his knees before them, trembling, and said, what must I do to be saved? Just because they were praising God instead of crying and complaining. We should learn from that, me included. Ooh, preaching to myself. So he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Amen? Amen. So it didn't matter the circumstances they were in. I don't know that any of us have been in that kind of a circumstance. But they showed us what to do. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You know what? They chose to enter into a place called joy. James 1:2-4, I think we'll just kind of quote you some of this. It says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So that means we're going to have trials, right? We live on this earth. I mean, Jesus hasn't come back yet until he's ruler over this earth. We're going to have trials. But it says that these trials are going to build patience, right? We're going to have patience if we let it. So it builds our faith muscles, right? The things that we go through builds our faith muscles, if we let it. And 1 Peter 4:12-14 says, do not think it strange when you go through all these trials, but have exceeding joy. Amen?
Amen.
Remember Jesus in Hebrews 1-2? He had joy because of what was set before him. Well, we can do the same thing. Let's not forget when we go through these things that there is something on the other side.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We can have joy knowing that God is faithful to his promises. That there's something more than just what's here on this earth. Amen? There's a heaven that we're going to that's being prepared for us. Amen? But if we allow his joy to live and be strong within us, we can, like, have heaven on earth. Because we don't let it affect us. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is now. It's not in the future. It's right now. Amen? So, 1 Thessalonians 2, turn there with me. This is another facet of our joy. 19 and 20, Paul was talking to the Thessalonians and he was telling them, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." Amen? Amen? So whenever you help to lead someone to the Lord, you're going to be able to come before the Lord and present them to the Lord. And it's going to cause great joy because you are able to present someone to the Lord. Amen? You didn't come alone. You didn't just get there by the skin of your teeth. You took a few people with you, right? All right. Amen. And John chapter 17. Are you still with me? Can you take a little bit more? A little bit more. Well, I'd like to see the whole jewel. Of course, I think there's so much in the Word that we can't possibly see it all. But you'd be surprised when you start looking up something how much is in the Word. I don't know about you, but I never really thought about joy so much. I know it's my strength, but gee. Okay. John 17, 13. Jesus was praying for his disciples that he was getting ready to leave and you know, go to the cross. So he's praying for them. And he says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Amen. Jesus wanted us to have joy. He wanted us to have his joy. Amen? And then in verse 20, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." So he is praying for us too, to have the joy of the Lord. Amen? In John 16, go back a page, 23 and 24. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive." Why? "That your joy may be full." He wants us to have a lot of joy. He wants it to be full of joy. Did you know that when you're full of joy, there is no sorrow? You got some sorrow hanging on somewhere? Well, get into the presence of God and have some joy. We know that joy is a gift, right, from God. Turn to Galatians. We wouldn't do right without saying what the joy, Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Joy. I told you joy was the second one right after love. Well, if God is love, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, then God is also joy. Amen. If he's within us, so joy is within us, right? It's automatically there. So do you choose to have joy, to allow joy to manifest itself? And then Psalms 22, verse 3. Psalms 22, verse 3. You know, if you look at verse 1, you see that David, and we know Jesus also used this, my God, why have you forsaken me? He could, you know, couldn't sense the presence of God. But you, verse 3, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Do you want to sense God? Do you want to know His presence? Do you want Him to manifest Himself to you? Then we need to build a throne for Him. I said when I first came up here, where two or three are gathered together, He's in our midst. So that's a thing of faith that we have to step through and believe that He's here. But if we want to really have something tangible, many times it's because we're just not really praising Him. Because when we praise the Lord, He just comes and sits right down in the middle of us. He's rejoicing with us just the same as we're rejoicing. And you know what? When your spirit and His spirit are communing, you just can't help but rejoice. Amen? It just comes pouring out of you. And we know that when we're full of joy, we're going to speak forth. Mary sang it out. The angels sang it out. They were rejoicing for the children of men. Amen? Paul and Silas rejoiced. In Isaiah 55, the Lord says, "Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart." How much more do you think His sons are going to sing for joy? So, concluding this, one more facet, Nehemiah 8:10. Okay? Can you go there? That's before Job. Okay. Then the Lord said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy is the spark that ignites our faith. That's something for you to remember. Joy ignites. It's the little spark that gets that faith activated. Joy and hope will work together to get your faith moving. You feel weak in faith? Well, get a little joy in there and believe in God's promises, and you'll see your faith rise. Amen? It'll just burst into flame. I wanted to read an excerpt from Kenneth Copeland's daily devotional, December 11th. This is the old devotional. I got one that's really old. It's entitled, "More Than a Holy Ghost Giggle." Remember when we really had the move of the Spirit and there people were falling out in laughter all the time? Well, it's still available.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Jesus is building up His church. He is strengthening us out of the rich treasure of His glory. He is arming us with the spiritual might we need in order to march out of every bondage and crush the devil under our feet once and for all. For example, the word glory in the Old Testament literally means to be heavy, laden with everything that is good. And it relates directly to the presence of God's Spirit. On the other hand, the word for grief is the exact opposite. It means to be heavy, laden with everything that is bad. Grief is the satanic reciprocal of glory. So when the glory of God comes on you, grief doesn't stand a chance. It has to flee. When it does, the joy of the Lord that is in you just starts bubbling out. There's nothing to hold it back. Of course, that's a lot of fun. We all enjoy it. But actually, the Lord is not just out to give us a good time and a Holy Ghost giggle. He has a greater purpose. He wants us to be full of joy because it's the force that will make us strong enough to carry out his plan in this final hour. It will give us the spiritual, mental, and physical fortitude to rise up in the fullness of God's glory. Fully healed, fully delivered, fully prosperous, so we can reap the final harvest and be gathered to him in great triumph. So let's look at our precious jewel. Joy. Joy because of salvation. It's an exchange. We get rid of our heaviness for the spirit of rejoicing. Joy that what is set before us. There's a place called joy. Joy causes rejoicing. Joy in spite of circumstances. Joy because we bring someone with us to God. Jesus wanted us to have joy. Joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit. God is joy. God is within us. Amen? God inhabits the praises of his people. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's to help us to get through anything and everything that is here on this life and to harvest the fields. Amen? So Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We are choosing to rejoice. We must stir up the joy that is inside us and rejoice. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, in closing, I've asked Brianna to come up here. We're going to do our little thing. If you don't know, this is my granddaughter, Brianna. Woo. She's already taller than I am. So she can be an example of Jesus and joy because I'm going to hide behind her. Right? If you can't see me, well, we have to turn you around like this. Oh, come over here. This is joy. Is she smiling? Jesus is full of joy, and I'm hiding behind her. Now, guess what? If you can't see me, you don't know where I am. Trouble is with us, we don't always stay hidden in Christ. Amen? We're supposed to be hidden in Christ. Well, if we have the joy of the Lord, nobody's going to notice when anything's affecting me. So if she's praising the Lord, I'm going to praise the Lord. But if I step out here, you can see me, right? Ah. So the enemy, when we show our flesh, he knows where to get us. As long as I stay in the presence of the Lord and stay hidden in Christ, he doesn't know the difference between Jesus and me, right? Go ahead. So I just wanted to, for you to see that, you know, any time that we are exposing ourselves to the enemy, then he knows how to push our buttons, how to attach, how to get us. How, you know, he knows how to build up strongholds within us. And if we're letting something constantly be seen, you know, if we're constantly getting upset every time somebody comes and says a certain thing to us, or that person at work, oh Lord. Lord, why did you put them in the same place with me? But But if we allow Satan to see that that really bugs us, he knows where to attack us, doesn't he? He doesn't know where to attack us if we're in Christ. So he uses this scatter gun, you know, like a shotgun, just firing away. And he's hoping to find something that he knows where we're at. Because when we respond to what he is doing, then he says, aha, I got him there. And I'm going to keep on shooting right there because I know that that affects him. Uh-huh. So say finances is your problem. It gets me down every time. Well, let's just keep on pouring down the problems with finances. Well, oh, Lord, I don't know where we're going to pay the bills this time. Well, praise the Lord, all my bills are paid for. Everything that I have need of is in Christ Jesus. Well, he doesn't know then that it's even affected him. Amen? I mean, affected you. Did you get that? Well, guess what? There's hope. If you got a stronghold or wound, you know, if it, in the natural, if you constantly are rubbing something on your skin, it makes a sore or a callus. And it hurts if somebody touches it, or you touch it. Well, this is what the enemy does. He keeps on going for that. I love what the Lord gives me examples. Sometimes, you know, I'm from the old, I love the farm and the chickens and all that. Well, these old chickens, have you ever seen one? If one of the hens or somebody has a sore on them, what do? They keep pecking it. They make it worse. They keep going after it. And that poor chicken has to try to hide away from the others because they're going to keep picking at that sore. Dumb. But anyway, if we cover that wound with the Word of God and allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength, then Satan can't see that he's affecting us. And it gives it a chance to heal. And it'll give us the strength to go through anything and everything that we need to. Amen? He doesn't leave us alone. God helps us. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. So we're going into the new year with strength, right? Joy.